are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Well, good morning. My name is Michael Poorman, and I'm one of the pastors here at Mission Point. And I'm really glad to be with you this morning. And today, I get the privilege of continuing in our series that we started a few weeks ago called Three Stories, Living a Life That Speaks. And so in this series, we are unpacking the idea that I have a story, everyone I meet has a story, and ultimately, God has a grander story that he wants to unfold in every human life. Because you see, when we know God's story, it reshapes how we see our own story and how we make space for the stories of others. Showing and sharing the love of Jesus isn't necessarily a script. It's a natural overflow of understanding God's story of redemption, my story of transformation, and their story of searching. And so throughout this series, we are learning how to become story stewards and story sharers, not just storytellers. Right? People who are humble and humbly listen, show love through presence and compassion, and then actually verbally sharing the hope of Jesus with confidence. And so to start our time together today, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had that experience where when two worlds in your life seem to collide? I'm sure you have, right? Right? It's like, you know these people from high school, and then you know these people from work, and then one day you're out at Kohl's and you see them together and you're like, wait a minute, how in the world do you know each other, right? And then you get to talking and you find out that your worlds have collided in a very unexpected way because these two people have known each other for a long time. You just didn't know it. And it's normal for them, but it was like for you, right? Right. And I'm sure you've had that experience. Funny enough, this actually just happened to Hudson and I a couple of weeks ago. I was showing him a video from the last church I worked at. And all of a sudden we're watching the video and he yells out, I know this church. I know those people. And I was like, what? What's going on? And come to find out that two people who helped lead worship at my previous church are actually really good friends with Hudson. Hudson was in their wedding. They were in Hudson's wedding just a few weeks ago. And so they're really, really great friends. And so in that moment, something cool happened, right? Our worlds collided a little bit. And I felt a little bit more connected to Hudson than I did before. And this also happened to my wife and I when we were at the Winona Lake 4th of July parade. There we were, just sitting in our golf cart, waiting for the parade to start. And then suddenly, two people we recognized walked past us. Now you say, we live in a small town. Of course you're going to see people that you know. But these two people were not native Warsaw Winona Lake people, right? These two people were people that were from the first church I worked at in the north side of Indianapolis in Noblesville. And so we were like, Candy, Paul, what are you guys doing here? And then they went on to tell us that they have family who own the White Castle house there in Winona Lake, and they were here for a visit. And man, it was really great to see them. But I will tell you, I never thought I would see Candy and Paul in a small town America in Winona Lake, Indiana. But I guess the saying does go, it is a small world after all, right? Oh, you can sing along, right? It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. It's a small, small world. I do apologize because now I know you're going to have that song stuck in your head for the rest of the message, but I just had to. So I do apologize. And thank you, Andrew, for that fun graphic as well. But the reality is a small world kind of sets up what we're going to talk about today, because we're going to see what happens when not only worlds collide, but when our stories collide. And so if you have a Bible, open up to Acts chapter 8. That's where we're going to land today. We'll also have the verses up on the screen. And I always like to stop and say that if you do not have a physical copy of the Bible, we would count it an honor and a privilege to get one in your hands. So here's what I like to say. You can steal one from church today. Okay? So, man, we would love to have you have one. So stop by guest services or the connection corner after the service, and they would be able to get you one and be happy to give you one before you leave. But before we dive right into the text, I think it's a little helpful to get a little bit of context. So we're in the book of Acts. And so the book of Acts was written by Luke as a continuation of his gospel, the gospel of Luke. And this book of Acts tells the story of how the good news of Jesus spread from Jerusalem all throughout the wider Roman world through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it highlights how the early church, how it grew despite persecution, as the apostles and other believers boldly witnessed for Jesus. Acts emphasizes the Spirit's guidance, the unity between the Jews and the Gentiles in Christ, and God's unstoppable plan to bring salvation to all nations. And so, in short, the book of Acts is the church's beginning with the acts or the doings of the apostles, and a call for believers, you and me, and those first century believers, to continue the mission of spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so when we pick up the story, all of the disciples have been scattered all throughout Judea and Samaria, and they're trying to preach the gospel to anyone they could. Right? They would go to town, from town to town and village to village, sharing the good news. Okay? So that's a little bit of context. And with that as a backdrop, let's jump into Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Full stop. Now, I know I'm only one verse into the text that we're going to walk through today, but I have to stop here and make two observations. And the first is about this road. Two roads led south from near Jerusalem, one through Hebron into Edom, and the other joining the coast road before Gaza, heading to Egypt. And so the desert road, as you can imagine by its name, would have been the less traveled road, right? It would have not had a lot of people on it, and it could be a little bit dangerous. And so Philip, being someone who's on a mission to share the love of Jesus, might have been feeling like the angel of the Lord got it wrong, right? He could have been like, "Hey, dude, I'm on a mission from God here, and this is not the most strategic way to go. I mean, I could be showing and sharing the love of Jesus with dozens of people on the other road, but you're sending me on this desert road." The reality is he might have been a little bit confused, being like, "What is happening?" Right? It reminds me of when my GPS takes me out of the way to get to my destination, right? This happens to me all the time with Apple Maps. I'm not sure why I'm a Google Map guy, but happens to me with Apple Maps. So if I want to go to Fort Wayne from my house in Winona Lake, my phone will take me all the way to the roundabout, all the way up Center Street, and then all the way to get to 30, which to start is literally in the opposite direction I want to go, right? Now, I can get there, and my wife would tell you I should just look at the route ahead of time before I actually hit start on the GPS, but I can get there. I can get to Fort Wayne from there, but it's so much easier if I just go up Wooster, out to 250, and get on 30, and then go to Fort Wayne, right? This other way just seems like a wasted detour and might extend my trip by 1 or 2 minutes or so. But the reality is that sometimes God has a plan for taking us out of the way. Sometimes he has a plan for taking us out of the way. And I had a former colleague and friend of mine who used to say, "You never know what that tricky Jesus is up to. You never know what that tricky Jesus is going to do." And so the writer of Proverbs also shared this idea when he wrote in Proverbs 16:9, it says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." And so that tricky Jesus might have something up his sleeve, so to speak. And as we will see with Philip, God had a plan for this detour on this desert road. But before moving on, I have to say this because it's foundational for the rest of our time this morning. In order to share Jesus with others, our story, as individuals in this room and watching online, our individual story has to collide with God's story. Otherwise, we will not have the Holy Spirit living in us to even hear him. Philip knew Jesus, and he was being led by the Holy Spirit in this story to go that way, to go down the desert road. He heard this prompting from the Holy Spirit. And just like Philip, we have to be in a relationship with Jesus to follow him and to hear his voice. We read these words in the book of Romans. It says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And so the reality is that we cannot share what we do not have. We cannot share what we do not have. You see, our encounter with God sets up the encounter with others to share the love of Jesus, right? Our encounter with God sets us up to encounter others with the love of Jesus. And this has to be the starting place. That has to be the starting place. And I'm going to tell you a secret that really isn't a secret. That's our hope for every single one of you who walks into this room every single Sunday. That when you walk in here, that you have an encounter with Jesus that changes and transforms you and then motivates you and challenges you and inspires you to show and share that of the love of Jesus everywhere you go, because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. All right, let's pick up at verse 27. This is what is Acts 8, verse 27. So it says, "So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet." Now, we also have to stop here because there's several things that we need to be aware of at this point in the story. The first thing is I want to point out is this was not a planned meeting. Philip did not email the eunuch and ask to meet for coffee and have a Bible study, right? He didn't make an appointment on his calendar with a set time and a set agenda for what he was going to discuss. No, this was a divine appointment orchestrated by God himself. And Philip was just available to the Spirit's leading. And God asks us to do this very same thing. He gave us this command in Matthew 28. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Now, the word "go" here in this passage is better translated "as you are going." As you are going. So it's intended to mean that wherever you are on mission. Wherever you are, as you are going, wherever you are on mission. And that's why this church exists. This is why we exist as a church, to show and share the love of Jesus where we live, work, learn, and play. And as we are going about our everyday lives and mundane things that we do, we live as everyday missionaries. That's why we exist as a church. That's what it's all about. And that's what this series is all about, living as everyday missionaries. The other thing I want to pause on for a moment is the man in the chariot. You see, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, right, he was sitting in the chariot and he was reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet, right? And this is so interesting to me because I was like, why did he go to Jerusalem to worship? I mean, why was he reading the book of Isaiah? And really, how in the world did he get a copy of the book of Isaiah? I mean, he was a Gentile, so, I mean, he could have just been in his chariot scrolling TikTok, right? He could have been reading People magazine, but instead, he was reading the Bible. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, if we flip a couple chapters forward to Acts chapter 10, we get some clues about this guy, that he was a God-fearing Gentile, and he was drawn to the God of Israel. And his journey to Jerusalem suggests that he had a devotion to God. I mean, he had traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles just to worship. And so this already shows that the God of Israel was already stirring in his heart in some way. But the reality is there was an issue. The issue was is that he was an Ethiopian and he was a eunuch, meaning that he was not Jewish. And the term eunuch often referred to a castrated man. And so the Jews, they opposed that practice, and the Jewish law excluded eunuchs from Israel. And so as such, he would have been excluded from becoming a follower, which means that this was someone who was seen as an outcast to the Jews, someone who didn't fit the mold, someone who didn't belong, and yet God had a plan for the eunuch's story to collide with Philip's story and ultimately collide with God's story and plan of redemption. You see, this eunuch would have been pushed to the margins by the Jews. And we see people like that today too, right? Those who feel overlooked or left out or never quite invited in. And yet, God wrote the eunuch's story into his own by sending Philip to meet him. I mean, here's the deal. And if you hear nothing else I say this morning, please hear this. The gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. It's for you, it's for me, it's for the outcast, it's for the overlooked, it's for the ones that do not feel like they belong. The gospel is for everyone. Showing and sharing the love of Jesus doesn't just happen with people that look like us and think like us or act like us. Jesus is for everyone, including those that we may initially reject. And this week, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, I wonder if we made a list of people who might say, man, maybe they feel like outcasts or they feel like they're on the margins, maybe especially within the church. And I came up with this list, and it may include a few of these folks, right? This is people who might feel like they're on the margins. And maybe it's the person who's fresh out of jail and they're carrying shame and they're not sure what their next steps are going to be. Maybe it's the person who identifies as LGBTQ+ and they feel rejected by their family or faith communities where they live. Maybe it's the immigrant family that's starting over and they're now afraid of deportation. Or the widow or single person who feels invisible no matter where they go. Or the person battling anxiety or depression and they can barely get through the day. Or maybe it's the person of color that's in a majority white space who feels uncomfortable or unsafe. Or the person struggling with an ongoing addiction that they just can't seem to get a handle on. Maybe those are some people that might be on the margins or might feel like an outcast. And let me tell you this, and please hear me when I say this. God desires for our stories and his story to collide with people just like this. And just like Philip did with the eunuch. People whom we may initially reject or overlook, but guess what? God does not overlook them. He loves them. And he wants them to know how much he loves them. And we just have to be aware. We just have to be listening. We have to be story aware, and we have to have the eyes of Jesus, right? We have to have the eyes of Jesus to see them the way he sees them. Maybe not the way we see them. And that's what Philip does here. And this is where the story gets really, really good. So I want you to check out what the Holy Spirit prompted Philip to do. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. It says, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And then he said, do you understand what you were reading? That's what he asked him. And I love this because first we see Philip getting another prompting from the Holy Spirit. First he got the prompting to go on this desert road, and now he's got this prompting from God that said, go get near that chariot. And I love this because it might have been a little weird, right? To be like, do you want me to go get close to a chariot? That's weird, you know? But I love this because it reminds me for the best The best way for our stories to collide with other people's stories is that we have to be in tune with the Spirit. We have to be in tune with the Spirit. When we are in a close relationship with Jesus, we can hear his voice and we see things the way he sees them. And God sets up for you and me divine appointments like this with Philip and the Ethiopian because we're living story aware. And then the really cool thing is we get to be a part of some amazing God stories when we are in tune with the Spirit. Philip lived out Galatians 5:25, which says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's living inside of us, and we need to keep in step and be able to be in tune with what God is prompting us to do. And Philip was in step enough with the Spirit to go to the desert road and then again to hear this prompting and go to this chariot. And I love it because God said, go get in close proximity to this chariot and stay near it. And like I said, it might have been a little bit weird to be like, okay, so you want me to go stand next to this chariot? I don't really know what's happening. And then I don't know if the Ethiopian said, who's this weird dude next to my, it, you know, be like somebody coming up and standing next to your car. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you doing, right? But I find it interesting because it makes me think that proximity matters. That proximity matters. That God instructed Philip to go to someone who did not know him and someone that the Jews probably would not have been too interested in talking to about God. But he said, go get in close proximity to this chariot and this guy. And so if we're going to be story stewards and story sharers, then we have to be in close proximity with people who do not know Jesus and who need to know Jesus. Coming here and being a part of a church community, awesome. Being in an MP group, which we want all of you to be a part of, amazing. So it fills us up and challenges us and we have support and all of those things. But here's the deal. If we want people's story to collide with other stories, maybe our story, then we have to be near people who do not know him. We have to show and share the love of Jesus where it is needed and where it is currently not happening. I mean, Jesus said it this way when he was eating with Levi, a tax collector, and other sinners. He said this in Mark chapter 2. It says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And so this means that we're sharing stories where we live, work, learn, and play with people who do not know Jesus yet. Who don't know Jesus yet. And if you don't know, this church started because out of a county of 70,000 people, 50,000 people said, I don't claim any church affiliation and probably no connection to the person of Jesus. And we said, that cannot happen on our watch. But if I'm honest, and I'll be the first to admit it, I could do a better job with this. I mean, I work at a church. I live in Winona Lake, which feels like the Christian capital of the world. Most people I know are Christians, and it can become so easy to insulate myself with people who think and act like I do. And I just want to admit in front of all of you that I need to do a better job of engaging the 50,000 who do not know him. I need to do a better job of this, and maybe you do too. Maybe finding intentional ways to engage them and take an interest in their story, and then maybe, just maybe, being able to introduce them to God's story. And that's what Philip did here. Look back at verse 30. It says, do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. I mean, Philip asked him a question. He got curious about this Ethiopian eunuch. Not only did he get in close proximity, he got curious about what he was reading. And this makes me think back to week one of this series where Scott talked to us about this naked man in this graveyard. And do you remember what Jesus did? Jesus asked him a question. What did he ask him? He asked him, what's your name? He asked him, "What's your name?" It was a simple question that humanized the man and let him know that he was interested in him. And so questions are part of our approach, right? Jesus modeled this approach for us, right? I mean, he asked lots of questions. Sometimes, most of the time, it felt like he answered a question with a question. And he didn't need to ask the questions because he already knew the answers. But he asked the questions because questions draw people out, right? When you're asked a question, it helps us slow down, reflect, and put into words what's really going on maybe inside of us. And so sometimes the most Christ-like thing we can do is to simply ask a thoughtful question and then listen with love. And then listen with love. Right? To me, this just means that if we want to be story stewards and story sharers, then that means curiosity is key. Curiosity is key. If we want to do that and we want to do it well, then curiosity has to be a part of our approach. Asking questions has to be where we start. We have to ask the question, hey, what's your story? What's your name? What happened to you? That's a great place to start. And I think how Jesus would encourage us to do that. And that's what Philip does here. He was in close enough proximity to him to be curious about him and to ask him a question, which prompted, which I think is really cool, the eunuch to reply with a need and an invitation. Take a look at verse 31. It says, "How can I," he said, the eunuch, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. I mean, how crazy is this, right? 2 minutes ago, these guys didn't even know each other. And now Philip is sitting in this chariot doing a Bible study with this Ethiopian eunuch. Pretty amazing. God intertwined these three stories, Philip's story, the eunuch's story, and God's story all together. You see, Philip's curiosity leads to good company and good conversation where he will have the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with this Ethiopian eunuch and help him understand what he's reading. Look at verse 35. It says, "Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus." You see, Philip's story, the eunuch's story, and God's story collided here. And Philip had the opportunity to share the gospel with him. The gospel, the good news that God has done what we could not, that sin separated us from him, but Jesus came and he lived the perfect life we could never live. He died the death that we all deserve and he rose again to give us life. And through him, we are forgiven, we are loved, we are made new. And each day, the gospel invites us to turn from our sin, trust in Jesus, and rest in the finished work of the cross. And this is what Philip had the privilege of sharing with this Ethiopian eunuch, because he followed the prompting of the Holy Spirit and was story aware. And when we do that, when we do what Philip did in this story, then we get the privilege of sharing the love of Jesus with everyone we encounter, right? We get to show love where there is none. We get to invite light into the darkness, hope into hopelessness, peace where there is conflict, joy into sorrow, freedom from chains, courage where fear has taken hold. We get to share an extension of grace where there is condemnation, encourage faith where doubt has settled in, and welcome rest where there is weariness. This is the good news in the person of Jesus. Amen. That's what we get to do and be a part of when we are story aware and our stories collide with other people. This is what being a story steward and living on mission is all about. And I don't know about you, but I want my days filled with more of those opportunities to ask good questions and to engage in storytelling. And so maybe, just maybe, I'll get to tell them about God's story of redemption. But if I'm honest, that's all too often not the case, because days are long and they're busy and life is full, and I find myself, and maybe you do too, rushing from one thing to the next, not really stopping to look around and see the people who need Jesus. Sometimes I'm walking through Kroger and I'm like, I wonder how many of these people need Jesus. And then I just go and keep grocery shopping and go back to my house and eat my ice cream. But that's why I love this series, because it's given me and hopefully you a moment to evaluate and to recalibrate a little bit. It's challenged me to live a life for greater purpose, to live for more stories of transformation, to have more interactions and opportunities like Philip did with this Ethiopian, to have my eyes up, my ears open to the Holy Spirit's leading, and be available to show and share his love with everyone I meet, not being too busy or maybe too afraid of what people might say to share the love of Jesus with others. I'm not sure if you've heard about the famous magician duo of Penn and Teller. We'll put a picture of them on the screen. But Penn Jillette, he's the talker. He's the taller, talkative one. He's the voice of the team, and he's known for his humor and his storytelling and his willingness to explain things even while doing these crazy magic tricks, right? But the other interesting thing about Penn is that he's a very outspoken atheist. And I saw a video that he made recently that, man, just challenged me. And as I was thinking about this message, I thought, man, I need to share it with you. And this is what he said. He said, I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize or evangelize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life, and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I heard that, I was like, wow. That's challenging. I mean, what we have to share in Jesus is so important. And being intentional with hearing other people's stories, sharing our story, and then sharing the greatest story ever told is too important not to engage. It's too important. It's literally life or death. It's about someone's eternal destiny. But the truth is, when we know Jesus and we know what awaits on the other side of eternity, we must share the good news with people. We must. We have to. Proclaiming the good news of Jesus should be as important to us as eating and breathing. It's that important because we have loved ones, family members, friends, coworkers who we want to know the love and the grace of Jesus like we do. But sometimes I just find myself too busy or too scared to share. But I love the way that this passage ends. I love how it ends. This sharing and this colliding of stories was so impactful that the Ethiopian wanted to be baptized. Look at verse 36 through 38. It says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. I love it. Right? This chariot came upon what was called a wadi. And it's basically this dry creek riverbed that fills during the rainy season. And this eunuch was so moved about the gospel being shared and what Jesus had done for him, that he wanted to be baptized right then and there to mark the moment as a follower of Jesus. And I love this because here was a man. Here he was, right? A man who was rejected by the Jews, not a follower of Jesus, redeemed, forgiven, made whole in Jesus. Part of the family. It's truly amazing what happens when stories collide. And I can't give this message and talk about stories colliding and not share that if it is not yet your story, this can be your story too. If your story has never collided with Jesus' story, that can happen today. Romans 10:9 tells us that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That's it. All you need to do is say a simple prayer like this and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I believe in you. I believe that you died and rose again for me. Save me, Jesus. That's it. It's a simple prayer. It's a surrendering to who Jesus is. As follower of Jesus, we do that every day. We surrender our lives to him. But if you've never done that for the first time, that's it. You can pray that prayer right now in your seat and be saved. Or after the service, we will have prayer team people down here who would count it an honor and a privilege to pray a salvation prayer with you so that you may be saved. But I also have some more good news, right? In that, in this story, this Ethiopian eunuch got baptized. And guess what? You heard it earlier. We got a baptism coming up in 2 weeks. It's coming up. And like the eunuch, I would say to you, what should stand in the way of you being baptized? If baptism has never been a part of your story, why not? What should stand in the way? In the way I see it is nothing. Nothing should stand in the way of you being baptized. So on your way out today, stop by that table, put your name down there and say, I want to be baptized. I want to learn more about what it looks like to get baptized in 2 weeks. But you see, this story of Philip and the Ethiopian, I love it because it shows that the Holy Spirit, through his amazing work, connects your story and God's story to someone else's story in ways we cannot plan. He brings stories together when they collide, and when that happens, lives change. And it challenges us, all of us who follow Jesus, to live story aware and to live on mission every single day, everywhere we go, as everyday missionaries. So as we close, I'm gonna give you a challenge. And I want you to pray a prayer every single morning, not just this week, but every morning. And here's the prayer. It says, Holy Spirit, lead me to someone's story today. Holy Spirit, lead me to someone's story today. It's a scary prayer because when you pray it, you got to be ready to act when he prompts you, right? And the reality is it might take you down a desert road that doesn't make a lot of sense. But there might just be an Ethiopian eunuch on that road who needs to know that there is a God who loves them more than they could ever imagine. Because in the end, it is a small world after all. And we're part of one big family. And we want every single person that we know and interact with to be a part of that family. And so let's go and be story aware. Ask good questions. Be in close proximity to those who need to know Jesus. And watch what God will do. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this story that's a reminder of your mission. That God, you chase after us. You continue to pursue us. And someone did for me what Philip did to the Ethiopian and shared Jesus with me. And so, God, I pray that now that we know who you are, that we would be fueled and challenged and encouraged and excited to go out and show and share your love with every person we interact with, so that we would not miss an opportunity to say, God loves you more than you could ever know, and I love you more than you could ever know. No matter what you've done, that you can't, there's nothing you could do to make God love you any more. There's nothing you could do to make God love you any less, but we can share that story. And so, God, I pray that you would give us divine appointments this week and the week after that and the week after that and the week after that to show and share your love and see more and more people come to know your love and your grace and your forgiveness. Remove any barriers that we have of not knowing enough. More knowledge, although good, and knowing more about you is great, but really, God, it's more about going out and doing it. How do we show and share and step out? Give us the courage we need to be able to do that, God. So as we continue to worship you now, God, I pray that you would continue to stir in us the people that we interact with, the people that we walk by, the people that we work with or that are in our families that need to know you. And I pray, God, that those names and those faces would come to our minds as we worship, and that, God, we would choose to do something with what we've heard today with those people. And that, God, you would even go before us and start to even soften hearts. So we give this time of worship to you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and let's worship.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at One Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.